All right. Well, if you have your Bibles tonight, you can turn with us to Esther chapter 1. Esther chapter 1 tonight. And we will be there in a few moments. And the Lord has led in a different direction here with the book of Esther. And I've decided to, because there's a lot of historical context, there's a lot of background within this short book, but I don't want us to get bogged down necessarily with that. I want us to see exactly the point of the book of Esther, and that is the sovereignty of God. The fact that God is in control and knows what's going to happen before it's going to happen, and He has come up with a plan to address those things before they happen, before they ever happen. And so over the next several weeks, starting with tonight, we're going to simplify just a little bit of the book of Esther. And tonight we're continuing the thought, looking at the king and his limited power. The king and his limited power. And last week, of course, we looked at the realm of the Persian power. We saw that they were massive in size geographically. Monetarily, they had a lot of possessions, but then they also had their feasts. They had the materialistic possessions. We saw that they were important in prophecy, but also they were important scripturally as well. And so we saw that they had very much power as a nation, and the king had very much power as a king. But ultimately, we said, even though he had all of this power, and even though this nation had all of this power, that power was still very limited when it stood in contrast against God, because God had the ultimate power. God had the most power. God is the most powerful. And so that brings us into tonight's continuation of that. And the second thing we want to see tonight is the revelation of a wicked ruler. The revelation of a wicked ruler. Who'd like to read there Esther chapter 1, verse 10 and 11? Esther chapter 1, verses 10 and 11 tonight. Ms. Rose?
On the seventh day, when the heart of the king was Mary was lying, he commanded Mehuman, Bitha, Harbona, Bigtha, and Abagtha, Zephar, and Carcass, the seven chambermaids that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look at.
All right, and so here we see, now up to this point, again, we've seen the realm of the Persians' power. We've seen the realm of the king's power. And when you have this much power, you have one or two things to do. Or you're going to do one of two things. You're either going to do that which is right in the sight of God, or you can do that which is wrong in the sight of God. And that goes for anybody. You and I, we have choices to make every single day. We're going to either do that which is right in the sight of God, or we're going to do that which is wrong in the sight of God. And here we see the king's decision. We see the king's position. And we see that this king was a wicked king, that he was a wicked ruler, that he was going to choose to do that which was wrong in the sight of God. And he did that, number one, tonight with an illicit command. He did that with an illicit command. Notice there, again there, and this is the command, verse number 11, to bring Vashti the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. And so we see here that his command, he wanted to bring forth this lady of great beauty, basically so that he and all the princes, they could gawk at her. They could look at her. They could look upon her and basically lust after her, as it were. And John Butler once said about our text and about the king. He said he could not control his passions in regard to women. He had a large harem and kept adding to it. And so we see he gives this illicit command. But you say, what on earth would possess somebody to give such a command like this? Well, we see that number one tonight, this illicit command was encouraged by alcohol. It was encouraged by alcohol. Notice there, if you would, there, verse number 10 again. It says, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king, notice what it says, was merry with wine. Was merry with wine. That word merry means drunkenness. So here we have this king. He was a drunk king. And this command was encouraged by alcohol. You know, now I don't know where most of you stand when it comes to alcohol, but I believe the Bible teaches abstinence from alcohol, not just drunkenness, not just, you know, to the point where, you know, you wake up the next day, you can't remember a thing you did the day before. No, I believe the Bible teaches and encourages complete abstinence from alcohol. You say, why? Well, because right here we have an example of it, especially when you find yourself drunk, you do things that you would not do in your right mind. You say things you would not say in your right mind. Now, don't let it fool you. The verse says here, he was merry with wine. Now, usually you have one of two types of drunks. You have a happy drunk, and then you have the angry drunk. you have one of two. And, you know, Mandy's has some history in her family of folks who, you know, they were drunks, and they were either happy drunks or angry drunks.
Yep. And my grandma's dad got drunk with the priest, and they ran around the house and stuff. Yeah, they were just happy drunks.
And yeah, they were happy drunks. Now, Mandy and I, we have a discussion sometimes because of that family history. Now she's a Christian, obviously, and so she abstains from alcohol. But we have the question, you know. And another reason she abstains is because of that family history, because she sees the fact that, okay, I have this family history. If she has a drink, she very well could fall into that line of becoming a drunk. And we sometimes have the conversation. Now, what did we decide on? Are you a happy drunk or an angry drunk?
Oh, I'd be angry.
Angry drunk. Yeah, that's what I thought. I didn't want to say it because I didn't want to get in trouble. But so as long as she says it, we're okay. So apparently he was a merry drunk. He was a happy drunk, but he gives this illicit command that was encouraged by alcohol. Not only that, but we see it was not only encouraged by alcohol. There's a Japanese proverb that says, first the man takes a drink, then the drink takes a drink, and then the drink takes the man. And you know, we've said this about sin in the past. You give it just a little bit of length. You give it just a little bit of slack. And before you know it, it's taking you further than you ever wanted to be taken before. And so not only was it encouraged by alcohol, but then secondly tonight, we see it was advanced by anger. It was advanced by anger. So verse 11, the command, bring the queen. Let's look upon her. Let's lust after her. Let's look upon her beauty. But then notice verse number 12. But the queen, Vashti, notice what she did. She refused to come at the king's commandment by his chamberlains. And then notice what it says. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. So verse 10, he was merry with wine. He was this happy drunk. He had this beautiful woman he was going to bring and show off to his friends. But then this woman, you know, sometimes, especially in our day and age today, we relegate women to nothing but sometimes...
Their physical appearance,
yeah. And, oh, she's cuter, she's sexier, she's hot. or she's this or she's that, and we degrade them. And you know, we need more women like this Queen Vashti that says, no, you know what? God made me. The Lord made me. I'm made after the creation of the Lord, and I am I'm made in the very image of God, and I'm going to live and present my life as such that every guy that looks at me or gawks at me or, you know, makes a pass at me or whatever the case may be, you know, I'm not going to give into that. They're going to, you know, they're going to respect me. And that's what this queen did. She refused to come, but then notice what happens. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. And so the king gave a command, the queen refused, and he got angry at that refusal. And we see here it was advanced by anger. You think about tonight just the trouble this caused. This is his wife that he is wanting to show off to these other men, the princes of his court. And when she says, no, not going to do it, he gets angry. And so we see here, as we think about that, and the whole reason it was so was because it was an immoral culture. It was an immoral culture. I mean, you think about the culture that they lived in, that a husband would say, oh, here, come look at my wife. I mean, you think about the culture here in Esther. How does that kind of relate to our day and age? What are some parallels that we see from this culture to our culture today? Anyone have any ideas? What are some similarities that you see from the culture of this day to our day?
Your big Dallas celebrities are always flaunting out the women around them and showing them off.
Mm-hmm.
There's no bondage between them. They're just dressing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're playing house. And that's kind of what the king here was doing. He was just kind of showing them off. And, you know, and some other things we see kind of similar today. We have, you know, folks who, you know, they have their alcohol. They get drunk and then they have their anger. They get angry very easy. We see the king. He gave this command. He was refused. How many people do we know, or we've heard of, or you know, we've seen in the news that they're refused something, and you know, they just go and they take it anyway. You know, it's not theirs to take, but they take it anyway. And we have that here. And so we see they were living in an immoral culture, and so. We see not only tonight the revelation of a wicked ruler, but then secondly, we see the reasoning of ungodly men. We see the reasoning of ungodly men. Who'd like to read there chapter 1, verse 12 through 15? Chapter 1, verses 12 through 15. Joe, go ahead.
But the queen Vashti refused to come at the king's command by his chamberlains. Therefore was the king very wroth, and his anger burned in him. Then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew law and judgment. And the next unto him was Karshena, Shethar, Admatha, Parshish, Meres, Marsena, and Memucan, the seven princes of Persia. and Media, which saw the king's face and which sat the first in the kingdom. What shall we do unto the queen of Vashti according to law, because she hath not performed the commandment of the king Ahasuerus by the chamberlains?
All right, thank you there, Joe. And so now we move from this immoral culture, we move from the command, we move from the refusal, the to the reasoning now, the counsel of these ungodly men. And again, this is more evidence of this immoral culture, because you remember from last week we saw this was a group that they lived in luxury. They had their festivals, their feasts. They had their gold, their wine. They were very much pleasure seekers. They were very much after that which could satisfy the flesh. They were very much those who they wanted their social fellowship, their palaces. They had their drunkenness. But then they find this lady who the Bible says there talks about to show the people and the princes her beauty. Now, the word beauty there also has the idea of modesty. This lady, this Queen Vashti, she was a very modest lady. And she no doubt dressed very modestly. And the king gives his command. She refuses. And so now this causes some family trouble. And we see that refusal in verse 12. But then we see the consultation with the advisors there in verses 13 through 15. He calls for the wise men, his counselors, does the king. And he wants to know there in verses 14 and 15, well, now what are we going to do with the queen? She's refused the commandment. She hasn't listened. And we see here they give some evil counsel in verses 16 and 17. Notice there, if you would, verses 16 and 17. The Bible says, and Memurican answered before the king and the princes, Vashti the queen hath not done wrong to the king only, but also to all the princes. Now see, here's where the evil counsel comes in. Because they're teaching, well, she just hasn't done wrong to her husband, but now she's done wrong to all these other guys. Folks, she did not belong to these other guys. She belonged to one, the king, and the king alone. And when you got married, you said that you were going to belong to one and one only, your wife or your husband. That's what the queen was seeking to do. But these men are saying she's not only done wrong to the king, but she's done wrong to all the princes and to all the people that are in all the provinces of the king. So not only has she done wrong to the king, she's done wrong to all the princes in all the provinces. Man, you talk about some just sin and some pride. Verse 17, for this deed of the queen shall come abroad. Now notice what they say. For this deed of the queen shall come abroad unto all women, so that they shall despise their husbands in their eyes, when it shall be reported the king commanded Vashti the queen to be brought in before him, but she came not. Now notice that verse. They keep one very important thing out of there in that verse. In verse 17, they say that the women they're going to get word of this, they're going to hear this, and now they're going to do the same thing to their husbands. Well, I hope that if their husbands were so foolish to say, "Hey, wife, come here," so all these guys can look at you, I would hope that those wives would have enough common sense to say, no, you're ridiculous, you're stupid, you're crazy, I'm not coming there to be looked at and gawked at and treated like a piece of meat. But you notice they left that part out, didn't they? In verse 17, they said, oh, the women, they're going to hear this and they're going to do the same thing to their husbands because the queen refused to listen to her husband. And if the queen refused to listen to her husband, who is king, well, then why do we have to listen to our husbands? I mean, what better argument can you get? You know, what?
She wasn't submissive.
Well,
setting an example for others.
Setting an example for others. That's right. You know, the what? Setting a precedent. Yeah. And the wife, or the husband says, wife, come here. I want to love on you. And the wife says, no, not tonight, honey. Well, why not? Oh, the queen said no to the king, so I can say no to you. Could you imagine that? You know, you want to snuggle with your wife, and the wife says, no, not tonight. Well, why? Well, the king said, or the queen said no to the king, and you're no king. So something must be wrong, right? I mean, could you imagine? But they left the part out where the king wanted to pawn her off on these other guys. And so we see the consultation with the advisors. We see the evil counsel they gave. But then we see the command of the king. We see the command of the king. Who'd like to read there verses 21 through 22? Verses 21 through 22. Chapter 1, verses 21 through 22. Brother George, go ahead.
And the saying pleased the king and the princes, and the king did according to the word of Nebuchadnezzar. For he sent letters unto all the king's provinces, and to every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, that every man should bear rule in his own house, and that it should be published according to the language of every people.
All right. Thank you there, Brother George. And so here we see the king. He now gives a command. And the command, just basically in layman's terms, men, you're the ruler of your house. You're the master of your domain. Man, that sounds good, don't it, men? You're the ruler of your house. The master of your domain. And now, listen, we understand tonight from a biblical principle and from a biblical perspective, the man is the head of the household. The man is the head of the wife. He is the head of the household. He has the final say in the household, so on and so forth. We understand that from a biblical point of view. But the king was not giving this command because this was God's design. He was not giving this command because this is what God intended for a home. This is not what he was given because this was God's biblical design for the marriage relationship between a man and a woman. No, he gave this command, number one, vindictively. It was a vindictive command. He was upset that he tried to bring his wife in to show her off, and she said no. Now, as far as I can see there in those verses.
Sounds like women's liberation.
Yeah, a little bit. Now, I can't tell from the verses that Queen Vashti refused in the presence of the king, but she may have, but in any event, I'm sure that her refusal got back to the princes and probably embarrassed the king in front of his friends.
These princes go to gather her, and she refused there. That's so true. The king did not hear. The princes, he sent the princes to get her.
Right, right.
And she refused to come.
He sent his chambermaids to get her.
Yes, yeah. The seven verse 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. So no doubt that they were. So no doubt he was embarrassed in front of his chamberlains in front of his princes. And so, because he was embarrassed, he gave this command. How about us tonight? What are some things we do when we get embarrassed? Well,
unbeknowing to him, he actually gave a biblical command.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
He was becoming a Christian, he just didn't know
it. He just didn't know it, right. And, baby steps. But, you know, how about us? You know, when we get mad and somebody embarrasses us, what are some things we do sometimes that could be considered petty or vindictive?
Try to get even.
Who said that? Try and get even? Yeah.
Go and tell everybody?
Yeah. You know, there are many things we can do, right? Yeah. That when we get upset, when we get embarrassed, you know, we can become some very petty people. We can become some very vindictive people. And that's what the king was doing here. He was becoming vindictive. But not only that, but it was a punitive command. It was a punishment that this command was. He sent this letter. He sent word that every man should bear rule in his own house. Again, in other words, the man was the ruler, and that was it. And the women had to obey.
There's one thing very different from in this country, anyhow, in today.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, they stated in here that the king very seldom even ever saw the queen.
Yeah.
Let alone was ever with her to talk to her, to get to know her, or anything else.
Yep.
So it makes a big difference that we, as a married couple, you know, we not only love our husbands and our wives, but we talk about things. We have a relationship with them.
Yep.
These guys didn't even have a relationship.
Yeah.
With these women.
That's actually a good point. That actually went over. What verse was that? Do you remember? Yeah, because verse 9.
This was before that, Walt.
Yeah, because verse 9, she was given a party for the women.
Yeah, it was somewhere before that, it said that the queens very seldom ever seen the king.
And, but yeah, you know, and that was a difference. And or verse number 19, come no more before King Azarus, and let the king give her royal estate unto another that is better than she. And
basically divorce her.
Yeah.
She wouldn't pray herself.
Yeah, exactly. And but again, we all are guilty of this, where we can be vindictive, and we can do things to punish somebody because they embarrassed us, or we can punish them because they did something that we felt wasn't right. And so we see the reasoning here of the ungodly men, and then, fourthly and finally tonight, we see the ruling hand of God. We see the ruling hand of God. And we see, number one, as we think about tonight, the ruling hand of God. Because in verse number 12, where we see the refusal, I mean, you think about it in the grand scheme of things, to say no to the king. That took an awful lot of courage. That took an awful lot of bravery. That took an awful lot of backbone and fortitude and whatever what other what whatever else word you want to put in there. But we see the perception of man. Proverbs 16:25. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so the king, this seemed right. But in the end, it would just kill his marriage. And then we see the providence of God. Isaiah 55:8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. And so we see here the Lord allowed her to take this stand and to say no, and to eventually be let go. And then jump over, if you would, Esther chapter 4. Esther chapter 4. And we see here again the ruling hand of God in chapter 4 because of Esther's stand for that which was right. Oh, I think it was chapter 4. But basically, because Vashti stood for what is right, we would then have Esther come along as a result. And the Bible tells us that she would be chosen for such a time as this. She would be chosen for such a time as this. There was a time here in Esther that the Lord needed somebody to stand for him in an immoral culture. And it was because of Vashti that the Lord was able to choose Esther to stand for such a time as this. Now, we'll get to that in a few weeks. But we see...
Verse 14.
What's that?
Verse 14.
Verse 14, chapter 4. Or let's begin at verse number 13. Esther chapter 4, verse 13. The Bible says, Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this. And then turn over, if you would, to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10. Because we see here that there had to be a deliverance. And God chose Esther for such a time as this. And tonight, you and I have been placed in this world at this time for such a time as this. For life's mission. Notice there, chapter 10 of Matthew and verse number 16. Matthew 10:16. The Bible says, Behold, I, this the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. So here's what the Lord has done. He has sent us into this immoral culture. Sheep, that's what we are. The Lord's sheep. And we have been sent in the midst of wolves to be wise as serpents, but harmless as doves. You and I have been sent here. We are here for a purpose. To see those folks that are bound by sin to be delivered to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation. Just as Esther had been given this charge to deliver the people, you and I have been given a charge to help see people delivered from the chains of sin. And we see through it all no matter what the culture throws at us. We see the ruling hand of God. We see the ruling hand of the Lord. And so, final question tonight is this. How can we continue to do right in a culture that is continually more and more immoral? How can we stand for what is right in a culture that seems to continually be getting away from the Lord? Anybody have an idea about that tonight? How can we stand right when everything else around us seems to be going wrong?
We just have to stick to our convictions.
Stick to our convictions, yeah. Absolutely. You know, if we know it to be right, then just stick with it. Mm-hmm. Just stay with what you know to be right according to this book. Stick right and stay right and just, you know, continue to stand. The Bible says, I think it's in Ezra, that he's looking for some men and women to stand in the gap. There is a gap right now in our culture between that which is good and that which is evil. And the Bible says he's looking for some of us to stand in the gap. And so the question is tonight, will you stand in the gap for such a time as this? You know, somebody comes, they entice you to do evil. They entice you to do wrong, like the king tried to entice Queen Vashti to do wrong. You know what you say? No. Years ago, there was President George H.W. Bush. There was a comedian by the name of Dana Carvey. And he used to, on Saturday Night Live, he would do an impression of the president. And one of the impressions he would do was not gonna do it. And so, you know what, when somebody tries to get you to do that which is wrong, you know what you tell them? Nope, not gonna do it. The Lord would not be pleased. The Lord would not be happy. That would not bring honor and glory to my God. I'm not going to do it. I'm not gonna have any part in it, because the Lord has me here to do something for him for such a time as this. And so, let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll ask him to bless the remainder of our time tonight.